Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't judge a book by its cover. There was a famous photographer years ago who was told to go take pictures of a great wildfire in the Pacific Northwest. He couldn't get a good photograph because of all the smoke, though, so he asked his magazine to hire a helicopter to give him some good aerial shots. The magazine agreed and told the photographer to go to the airport, where his helicopter would be waiting. So he went to the airport, saw a helicopter warming up near the runway, and hopped in. "Let's go, let's go," he yelled at the man in the cockpit, and soon they were in the air. "Fly low over the north side of the fire," the photographer said. "Make 3 or 4 low, slow passes over the flames." "Why?" the pilot asked in return, panic in his eyes and his voice. "Because I'm going to take pictures," the photographer said. "I'm the photographer, and I'm going to take pictures of the fire." After a pause, the man said, "You mean you're not the flight instructor?"
Oh, boy.
It's important to not make false assumptions, isn't it? We need to see things as they really are. Don't judge a book by its cover. This was a mistake that Peter, James, and John might have made in our text here in Matthew 17, the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Even though things might have appeared different to them earlier, Peter, James, and John learned something this day. They learned 3 things: that Jesus was divine, that Jesus was better than the prophets, and third, that Jesus wanted a personal relationship with them. They might not have known this before, but they learned that today for sure. And we can learn the same things too from our reading. Let's pray before we dive into God's word together. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we have together to look at and learn from your word. Knit us together, God, as a family, and draw us closer and closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing we learn from this transfiguration account is that Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. It might seem obvious today for us to say that, but there would be no denying this truth after Jesus was transfigured like this in Matthew 17. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And God himself spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." What? "Listen to him," God said. Some of Jesus' apostles and disciples knew Jesus' family. They might have even known that Jesus grew up as a carpenter. It would have been easy for these friends of Jesus to forget that Jesus was more than simply a blue-collar, humble worker from Nazareth. It would have been easy to judge a book by its cover. But Jesus was much more than that. And for us today, we can sometimes forget who Jesus is. Jesus was a carpenter who worked with his hands, so he was strong. But Isaiah 52 says that Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Jesus probably didn't stand out from among the crowd of that time period. He looked pretty ordinary. But he certainly stood out, transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Jesus also wasn't an old, weak man, like he's sometimes displayed in pictures that we see today. He wasn't an old, weak man. He wasn't a strong, young revolutionary either. He wasn't just an average Joe either. Jesus was God incarnate. Hebrews 1:3, "And Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God's nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power." Jesus Christ is divine. We see that for sure here in Matthew 17. But also Jesus showed that he is far better than the prophets. When Jesus had performed miracles to various groups of people, some thought that he was the return of the prophet Elijah or a return of the prophet Moses. And now this would have been high praise coming from the Jews of that day. Moses wrote most of their scripture. And Elijah was also a very important figure in their history, the history of Israel. It was very high praise for Jesus to be compared and equated to the prophets. High praise, but it wasn't merely high enough. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration showed himself to be distinct from the prophets and far superior to the prophets. Just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 13, Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was, who the people thought he was. They said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked, well, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, saying, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Jesus is more than just a prophet. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was also better than Moses. Listen to these verses from Hebrews 3. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much as the builder of a house receives more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken of later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confession and our boasting in our hope. Jesus is better than Moses, isn't he? In John 8, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. That's another incredible statement, isn't it? Can you imagine people just hearing that and being totally baffled and confused? Jesus was claiming to be not only superior to the prophets, but also superior to and separate from time itself. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. What else is Jesus superior to? He's better than every other pathway to heaven. Many people try to climb ladders of self-righteousness to heaven's pearly gates by living good lives, not hurting anyone, maybe even going to church once in a while. But these ladders to God will only collapse well before they reach heaven. Others may attempt to reach heaven by the path of spirituality. They might try to experience God or surrender themselves to the Holy Spirit. But without Christ, without the Word, these ladders fall short too. These paths don't reach heaven. They don't reach eternal life without Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many people come to the Father except through him? Nobody comes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Jesus is better. Jesus is superior. Jesus revealed himself to be divine on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he showed Peter, James, and John that he was also better than the prophets. And thirdly here, Jesus shows that he wants a personal relationship with them and with us. A personal relationship. Verses 6, 7, and 8 in this passage might be some of my favorite in all of Scripture. Let's look at them again. After Jesus is transfigured, it says, when the disciples heard this voice from heaven, they fell down on the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. I love these verses. These few verses are just a perfect representation of the gospel and of our correct response to the gospel message. Peter, James, and John had been confronted with the incredible glory and majesty of God. They had witnessed firsthand the perfect holiness of Jesus, and they could only fall down on the ground in utter fear. This is the exact same response Isaiah had when he had a vision of being in the temple of God. He fell face down and said, woe is me, for I am ruined. when compared to the perfect Creator God, we fall so far short. Nothing we say, don't do, don't think could ever measure up to the level of holiness that God demands. Peter, James, and John realized in our account today and fell face down, terrified. But Jesus didn't gloat in his splendor or leave his children in their fear. The Bible says that he came to them and he touched them. He came to them and he touched them, which is true in our story here in Matthew 17 and on a much broader scale too. Jesus came to us and he touched us. He left his heavenly throne and came to us, his creation. He came to us and he performed an action that offered, that made available salvation to us. He lived a perfect life without sin. He was blamed for all the iniquity in the world, and he was crucified on a cross. And he raised from the dead to show his power over death and to offer to us eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus came to us and he touched us. He healed us and he relieved our face down on the ground fear. He came to us because he wants us. He wants a personal relationship with us. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Speaking of judging a book by its cover, this can be another common misconception about the Christian faith. Many view God as an all-powerful old man sitting on a throne in heaven, doling out punishment and rewards based on the things that we do. Others view God as a kind of divine vending machine, only giving us what we need when we ask for it, right? Many people haven't met the one true God. Many people don't understand who the real God is, and many people don't know that he loves them and wants to have a personal relationship with them. 2 Peter 3:9, Jesus is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus desires a relationship with you. He wants us to know that he is God, that he is all-powerful and holy. He wants us to realize that he is better than the prophets, better than any other route or method we could try to use to find salvation or contentment or fulfillment or satisfaction. And he wants us to get up and not be afraid. He wants to save us and he wants to accomplish great things in us and through us. Peter, James, and John might have been judging a book by its cover. They might not have truly appreciated Jesus for who he was, but their assumptions were turned on their head here at the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's not make the same mistake. Let's see Jesus for who he really is and give him the response he asks for and deserves. Let's allow him to pick us up and save us by the strength of his mighty hand. Revelation 3:20, Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Amen.